Song of Songs, Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. Okay? Let us read the book Song of Songs, whole chapter 1, from verse 1 to 17, and then key verses 2, 16, 7, 10, 8, 7 together. Okay, let me read together. Verse 1, Solomon's Song of Songs. Pleased is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like a perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. Dark am I, yet lovely, all those of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday. Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends? I liken you, my darling, to a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. We will make you earrings of gold, studded with silver. My love is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breast. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are doves. The beams of our house are cedars, our rafters are firs. Together, my lover is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies. I belong to my lover and his desire is for me. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. Amen. Do you like this book, Song of Songs? Solomon's Song of Songs. Actually, in Hebrew Bible, the title is Solomon's Song of Songs. Based on first verse, Solomon's Song of Songs. King James Version says in first verse, Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. It means song of, by, for, or about Solomon. And Song of Songs means the greatest, supreme, paramount, the most beautiful, or preeminence, superlative degree expression, such as Holy of Holies, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of Gods. As you know, according to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,005 songs. Then this book is a Song of Songs, means among all songs he wrote, this book is the most beautiful, the most wonderful, the greatest songs. As you know, Solomon wrote three books in the Old Testament. We are studying his book continually. In the Old Testament, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and this book, Songs. Then traditionally, it is believed, accepted that Solomon wrote this book, Song of Songs, in his youthful years, and Proverbs in his middle years, and then finally Ecclesiastes in his old ages, later years. It means he wrote about love in his young age, and about wisdom in his middle age, and then at the close of the end of earthly life, he realized without God, everything is meaningless. We started this story last Sunday. Vanity of vanities. Only in God, everything is meaningful. Only it is God who makes man's life meaningful, purposeful, perfect, beautiful, and eternal. Yes, we know Solomon is the champion of wisdom in human history, but now, by the grace of God, we can be wiser. We can be more wise than Solomon if we realize now, not at the close of the end of life, not the close of departure of this earthly life, that it is only Jesus Christ who makes our life meaningful, purposeful, perfect, and eternal. May God bless all of us so that we may be wiser than Solomon. Amen? This is possible by the grace of God. Then this story, Song of Songs, the greatest song, this song is love song. Love song. Amorous songs. This song is a collection of love poems. For the most part, in the form of poems addressed by a man to a woman, and by the woman to the man, in rotation. This book consists of 8 chapters with 117 verses. Then first half from chapter 1 to 4 is the beginning of love between a man and a woman. And second half from chapter 5 to 8 is broadening and deepening of their love. The story is like this. Solomon, yes, in this story, Solomon King is identified as a bridegroom, husband. Solomon has a vineyard in countryside. Then a girl called Shulamite is a worker at that vineyard with her brothers. Then one day, Solomon visited that vineyard, and Solomon wins her heart and eventually takes her to his palace at Jerusalem as his what? As his bride, as his wife. Actually, this woman is poor, not rich. Solomon very rich. This woman is very poor. Her skin darkened, tanned through hours of work outside in the vineyard. But she is the most beautiful, most attractive, fairest among all women in this world to the eyes of Solomon. Love is from subjective perspective, not from objective glasses. Then, the first three chapters, chapter 1, 2, 3, gives a series of recollection of courtship before wedding, including the bride's yearning, longing for affection before their marriage. You know, do you remember verse 2? Verse 2, let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with many kisses of his mouth. How sweet, how sweet. Do you have somebody to say like this? Let him kiss me. And the expression continually, expression of mutual love at the Paris before wedding, and ornate procession of wedding from bride's home to Jerusalem. And then after marriage in chapter 4, Solomon, bridegroom, prays his bride's beauty, especially physical beauty, is part of body. Shall we see quickly chapter 4? Very concrete in his praise. Chapter 4, from verse 1 to 7. Chapter 4, this is just after marriage, praise of bridegroom for bride's beauty in physical part. Okay? How beautiful you are. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil is doves. Eyes? Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. Hair? Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn coming up from the washing. Each has its twin, not one of them is alone. Teeth, your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Lips, your mouth is lovely. Mouth, your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. Temples, your neck is like the Tower of David, built with elegance. On it hangs a thousand shields, all of them shields of warriors. Your two blades are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee, I'll go to the mountain of Moor and to the hill of incense. All beautiful you are, my darling, there is no flaw in you. You are perfect. You are excellent. You are complete. How wonderful. How fantastic. And then from chapter 5, their love is broadening and deepening. This story is arranged like, one-act drama with three main speakers, bride, bridegroom, and the chorus, the daughters of Jerusalem. Okay. Literally, this song, this book is a collection of love poems, celebrating love, celebrating romantic, even sexual, physical, biological, emotional, mental, volitional, spiritual whole relationship God intended for marriage. Yes, God established marriage, including physical union between husband and wife, between bridegroom and bride. In Genesis chapter 2, as we know, God says, it is not good for man to be alone. That's why I will make a suitable, very, very suitable for him. And God made a woman from a rib of man, and God took him to her. Then Genesis 2 says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And then they two will become one flesh. This is a general principle of marriage God established for all human beings. Then Bible says, God is love. Two times repeated in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. First expression is the expression of truth. God is love. And repeated one more time, God is love. This is emphasis with big stress. God is love. What does this mean? God is love. Today, our sermon's topic is love and union. Shall we say it together? Love and union. Love and union. Or a union of love. Union. Love of union. Love. The key message from this book, Song of Songs, is love and union, or a love of union, or a union of love. Then Bible says, God is love. God is love. It means God is creator of love. God is owner of love. God is author of love. All kinds of love. Yes, we know God love. We know God's love. It is called agape love, divine love, sacrificial love, unconditional love, unfailing love, absolute love. Not only this kind of love from God, but also love between human beings, such as love between parents and children, love between friends, love between neighbors, co-workers, love between brothers and sisters, love between husband and wife. All kinds of love by God, from God, in God, as a gift of God to be received with joy and gratitude, thanksgiving, and celebration. God is love. That's why Bible says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. But whoever does not love does not know God. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. All kinds of love comes from God, by God, as gifts from God himself. It means outside God, there is no true God. Without God, genuine love is broken. Yes, it is very clear through the witness testimony of the Bible. Yes, we know the first couple in the Bible from the foundation, creation of the world, first couple, first bridegroom and bride, Adam and Eve. You know, when they were in God, when they were in sinless condition, their love is a perfect, ideal relationship. You know, when Adam saw Eve, he said, oh, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. It means they were in perfect, complete, ideal relationship in their love, in God. But outside God, even after fall, their genuine love is broken. Adam, after fall, after committing sin, Adam accused Eve, saying, this woman made me. This woman, he praised, made me, caused me to eat the forbidden fruits. It means outside God, their genuine love was broken immediately. And then another lesson from this word is God's love toward human beings is always presented, always revealed, manifested through Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate in person. That's why the Bible says all the time, God's love for all human beings is given through Jesus Christ. Bible says this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son in this world so that we may live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And he sent his Son in this world as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We know John 3:16. Do you know John 3:16? God so loved the world. God so loved the human beings that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God demonstrates, God shows, God reveals his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the story of Ecclesiastes we studied last Sunday, and the story of Song of Songs look very, very differently. It depends on our situation. We can belong to the story of Ecclesiastes. Also, we can belong to the story of Song of Songs. It depends on our attitude towards God. It means, do you know your level, your position, your status, human beings, men, according to God's creation principle, man's level, man's status, man's position is between God and animal. It means we can be like almost God. Also, at the same time, it is possible for us to be like almost animal. God is God. God is there in his position. No change. God is God there all the time. Also, animal is animal. Animal is in his position, in their position all the time. No change. Then there is no common thing between God and animal. There is no communication between God and animal. Just God is creator and sustainer of animal, but animal does not know that. No common thing, no communication. But God is man is between God and animal. It means man has common thing with animal, also at the same time with God. This is very, very important point given all human beings from God. Yes, we have common things with animals in that animal and man both material. Both have physical body. Both eat. Animal eat, we eat. They drink, we drink. They breathe, we breathe. Both animal and man procreate their kids. And both come from earth, dust, and both return to dust. So, man can have a partial communication with animal, dog, cat, lion, tiger. But also, same time, we have a common thing with God. God is spirit. God is spirit. We have a spirit as a spiritual being. God is creator. man can have, man can do creative activity. God is person has personality. Man is person has personality. God is omniscient. Man has intelligence. God is eternal. We are eternal being. So we can have communication with God because we are created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Man's position is very, very movable from God to animal or from animal to God. Whether being like God or an animal depends on our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Please remember in your whole life, in your whole life, if a man has no relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm sorry to say that he is like an animal. That's why the Bible says last Sunday, Ecclesiastes, man's faith is like that of animal. Man has no advantage over animal. But if we have relationship with Jesus Christ personally, individually, by accepting him as personal Savior and Lord, you know, immediately, momentarily, our level, our position rises to the highest, as high as to becoming children of God, even bride of Jesus Christ. This is the message given to us through this story. This story, the Song of Songs, pictures the church as the bride of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are many, many places Jesus is introduced as a bridegroom of church, believers. For example, Ephesians 5:23 says, as husband is the head of wife, so Christ is the head of the church, believers. Husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 says, I promised you. God said through the mouth of Paul, I promised you to one husband, one bridegroom. Who is that? Jesus Christ. So that I may present to you as a pure virgin, pure bride to your bridegroom, Jesus Christ. You know, the final day, the last day, Jesus will come again in his second coming, advance as bridegroom of all believers. Yes, in his first coming, 2,000 years ago, he came as a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But in his second coming, he will come as bridegroom. That's why Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 says, let us rejoice, let us be glad, give glory to him, because the wedding of the Lamb is come. His bride has made herself ready. Means he is coming as bridegroom. It means we are his bride. We are his wives. Spiritually, our Lord Jesus has so many wives. That's true. It means union. Bible represents this union of believers with Jesus Christ through many, many analogies drawn from earthly unions. See your surroundings, our circumstances. which union is the most strong, strongest union around us? In this earthly world, which is the most strongest union? To what union we can say, oh, this union is the most strong, most powerful union? Jesus did his best to teach us this union between himself and us as bridegroom and bride is the most powerful, the strongest union between Jesus Christ and his believers, church, as bridegroom and bride. Sometimes Jesus compared this union between the foundation, the ground, and this building. Yes, the union between this building and the ground is essential. Without ground, how can this building stand? And Jesus says, I'm the vine, I'm the tree, you are the branches. It means union. How branch can live separated from tree? Jesus says, I'm the vine, I'm the tree, you are branches, cling to me. I'm the shepherd, good shepherd, not bad shepherd. I'm the good shepherd, you are my sheep. How can sheep live without care of a shepherd? I'm husband, you are my wife. And finally, ultimately, I'm the bridegroom and you are my bride. This is the final, ultimate union given to us between Jesus Christ and us, believers. About this union, I once introduced just 5 points according to biblical teaching. What union is this according to biblical teaching? Yes, a kind of things. This building is a kind of a union. This building is a union of material union, union of wood, cement, sand, rock, nail. Then if this union is separated, this building will be destroyed, ruined. Water is union, H2O. If this union is separated, no more water. Like this, our union with Jesus Christ is a union taught in the Bible. Then number one, this union between Jesus Christ and believers is not material union, not mental union, not physical union, not chemical union, but spiritual union. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who unites himself, herself with Jesus Christ is one with him in spirit. Romans chapter 8 says, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. It means our union with Jesus Christ is a spiritual union. It means Holy Spirit is the author of this union between Jesus Christ and church believers. That's why the Bible says, no one can say Jesus is Lord. No one can say Jesus is God without by the Holy Spirit. This is spiritual union. Number two, this union between God, between Jesus Christ and believers is vital union. Vital union. We are united with Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension, in his coming, in his eternal life. This is a vital union, life union. That's why the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Jesus Christ. I no longer live. Do you live now? But I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The body I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, who gave himself for me. We died. We died to old self. We died to the world. We died to the sin. Our life is hidden with Jesus Christ in God. That's why the Bible says, when Jesus, do you believe Jesus comes soon? When Jesus, who is your life, appears, also we will appear with him in his glory. This union is a vital union. It means the life of Jesus Christ is the life of church, life of believers. We are not living our own life, but we are living the life of Jesus Christ, our spiritual whom? Bridegroom. And number three, this union between Jesus Christ and believers is perfect union, complete union. Bible says continually, church is the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head. Do you have head? Do you have your body? Do you have your head? Imagine, without head. Yes, at the same time, imagine without body, only head. Imagine, unimaginable. Head, Jesus is our head. We are his body, and individually, each of us is a part of one body. Yes, we saw the bridegroom prays each part of the body of bride. Eyes, your hair, your teeth, your lips, your mouth, your temple, your neck, your breast. Jesus, our bridegroom, is praising each part of his body. You know, each part of body is both means and end. Hands is existing. Hands is working for feet. And feet is working for hand. They are working together. They are existing for each other. Then all parts of body existing for head. Also at the same time, head exists for body. Means body makes head perfect. Head makes body perfect. Jesus is perfect because of us. Why? Because we are his body. Also, we are perfect because of our Jesus Christ. Why? He is our head, bridegroom. And then, number four, this union with Jesus Christ is inseparable union, unbreakable. Yes, the union in human beings is breakable. The union of Adam and Hawa was broken. But this union between Jesus Christ and believers, church, is unbreakable, inseparable, indissoluble union. Our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, says, I give you eternal life. You shall never perish. No one can snatch you out of my hands. What can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or danger, or sword, or famine, or hardship, anything else can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, our bridegroom? So we can be sure, we can be convinced very, very strongly. nothing able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why the Bible says we can be sure, we can be confident that neither death, no life, neither angels, no demons, neither present, no future, no any powers, neither height, no depth, no anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. No more separation. Conclusion is no more separation. Then this union is a mysterious union. Shall I say mysterious? Mysterious. Inexplainable. Inexplainable union. Inscrutable union. Yes. This union is real. Actual. This union is reality. Please say again. This union is reality. This union is not fiction, not just a story, reality, but cannot be explained through human language, cannot be understood with our brain, with our human knowledge or understanding, beyond our wisdom, beyond human logic, beyond human understanding. But this union is real, actual, practical reality. That's why the Bible says Ephesians 5:32. Yes, we know. In human world, the most mystery is union between husband and wife, bridegroom and bride. Do you agree? Bible is very honest. Bible says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. They will become one, one flesh, one mind, one spirit, one body. Oh, this is a profound mystery, deep, deep mystery. And then Bible says continually, just the next sentence, but I'm talking about Christ and church. How mysterious. This is mysterious, but true, real, reality means beyond our understanding, our wisdom. I'm doing my best to explain what kind of union is this, but I cannot explain. Just I'm praying, hoping Holy Spirit say, Holy Spirit touch all of us directly, and then we can realize. If you realize something, you are realizing not through my words, but through the touching of the Holy Spirit directly. And what results, what consequences of this union? Yes, we can enjoy and experience many, 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 many benefits, many, many blessings through this union. Imagine if you have a union with a human president, how much benefits you can get. Then we are united with Jesus Christ, God incarnated in person. It means we are enjoying, we are experiencing so much blessing. This union, just because of limitation of time, let me say just four results, four fruits, four consequences of this union. This union with Jesus Christ means eternal safety. Nothing able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. It means if we are united in the likeness of the death of Jesus Christ, Yes, we will also will be united in the likeness of his resurrection. This union is eternal security. And this union with Jesus Christ means fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much, much fruits. This is very natural. This is very, very natural. This fruit is the fruits of the Holy Spirit, fruits, the character of Jesus Christ. Also, this union means endowments, endowments for service. Yes, you know Jesus is the head of the one body. We are one body. We are one body. And each of us is a part, part of this one body, just like eye, nose, mouth, ears, neck, hands, legs. Each part has its own job. Is that true? Each part has a different job. Eye has its own job. Nose has its own job. Mouth has its own job. Different job, but in perfect unity. Purpose is one, not two. It means it leads to unity in one body in the midst of diversity. And last of all, this union means fellowship with our Lord's bridegroom. Fellowship. Is it possible? Is it possible for bridegroom and bride not to have fellowship? Not to have sharing? Impossible. It means fellowship and sharing in his victory, in his glory. That's why we are called his co-heirs, co-heirs. He is our oldest brother. Are you bride? Are you bride of your bridegroom, Jesus Christ? If you say amen, you must be responsible for your saying amen. Let me ask one more time. Let me give you another chance. Think, and respond. Are you bride of Jesus Christ, your bridegroom?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, Jesus is our bridegroom, eternal bridegroom. We are his bride. It means our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is dealing with us not in group. We are worshiping him in group together, same time, same place, but our God is receiving our worship service not in group, but individually, personally, privately. Why? Because we are bride to our bridegroom. One bride, one bridegroom, and one bride. So remember, you said amen. We must be responsible for our saying amen. Then if we love anything else, anybody else more than our bridegroom Jesus Christ, it is a terrible adultery. As his bride, we must proclaim, we must confess, we must profess every day, every moment, his absoluteness, his exclusiveness, his uniqueness, his incomparableness. Only in our permanent, forever bridegroom, Jesus Christ, we can experience and enjoy true happiness, true peace, true joy, contentment, satisfaction, loyalty, commitments, and beauty, and eternity. May God bless all of us. Jesus is our bridegroom. He is coming soon. He is on the way. He is on the way. Can you see? He is coming soon as our bridegroom. Then when he comes, this story, Song of Songs, will be ours spiritually and eternally, everlasting, forever and ever. God bless all of us in his grace and mercy through our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we pray together? Okay, this time is time for us to respond to our bridegroom. We are his bride. Respond just meditating what kind of union we have with our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual union, vital union, complete union, perfect union, indissoluble union, inseparable union, mysterious union, and eternal, everlasting union. Let us give thanks, praise, and worship through our response to him from our deep hearts. Let us pray together. O Lord God, Lord God, Father God, we thank you, praise you, worship you, honor you, exalt you to the highest, then to the higher, O Lord God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and eternal bridegroom. We are your bride individually, personally, privately. Thank you for your accepting us as your bride, as your spiritual wife. We are your co-workers, co-heirs, and we will share your victory, your glory, your destiny forever and ever and ever in your bosom. Thank you for this wonderful blessing. This can be not explained through human language, human wisdom, human logic, but we believe this is true. If we believe, our faith is from you as gifts, not by our efforts, not by our education or a trial, just by your gift, by your mercy, by your grace. Thank you for your unsearchable grace. Thank you for your being with us as our bridegroom from first to last in peace and joy and full satisfaction and holy real happiness. All glory back to our Lord Jesus Christ, bridegroom. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.